actually means complete. And I gave a very good example of a building. If there is a building somewhere else and you say, I want this building to look nice, it is not repainted and to restructure it. It is completely destroying it, removing it, and putting a new one. That's chadash. So if there are things in your life that are not going on well, the Lord will destroy them and he will create a whole new thing upon your life. Somebody shout chadash. So your prayer will go through chadash. Your spiritual life will go through chadash. Your intercession will go through chadash. Yes. Your marriage will go through chadash.
Yes.
Your finances, chadash.
Yes.
Your children,
chadash.
Come on, I want you to say something. Your family,
chadash.
Your prayer life,
chadash.
Your finances,
chadash.
Your marital life,
chadash.
All things have become
new.
So when you are dealing with the chadash environment, it's when God begins to rearrange things. Thank God for the chadash. Now, in Isaiah 42, verse 9, it says that. But when we go now to Isaiah 43, let's go to Isaiah 43. Oh, my God. When we go to Isaiah 43. Now, we're going to start reading from verse 16. Okay? We're going to read from verse 16 and up to 19.
Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea.
Imagine.
And a path through the mighty waters.
Mm.
Who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lay down together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick.
Now, I just want you to see something here. Are you here?
Yes, prophet.
So God is telling his people. He says, I know there are armies. There are soldiers who have been fighting you. I know there are chariots. But I want to do something new. When they are coming after you, I'll make them weak. And they'll just lie down. They will not even stand. No. The way you will fight this battle this time around is going to be different. It's not like you take a sword and they have good swords and you are fighting sword to sword. No, this time around it's going to be different. Amen. You didn't hear me. This time around. Now look at the scripture. It says, they shall lie down together. They shall not rise. And you imagine you're about to go and fight God's people. You're on your horses. And you hit the horse. Can you rise up? And the horse says, we're not going. And two soldiers says, no, this has never happened. What we are seeing today is a new thing. Our horses have never refused to go to battle. And you are trying to beat them up like, let's go and fight Major One. The whole weapon only. Says, it says they shall together, they will lie down. And they will not rise. And they try this, they try that. Even you'll be so shocked how suddenly the battles will be rising. Demons being sent to go and destroy her. Demon says, we'll try next year. And the devil says, but I've been sending you on missions to destroy this woman. In witchcraft, they do a voodoo. They charm, saying, no, I can't. Answering the person doing it, say, no. If it's to do with that man, I'm not doing it. Who? Mention your name. Who? If it's that person, I am not going to touch that person. Why? Because the Bible says the way he's going to do it this time. You will do it in a different way. In a new way your enemy has never seen. There are people who are planning evil against you. God says from now going forward, how the battle will be fought will be a different way. They will be shocked how they... Oh my God. Now hear the scripture. It says, and they shall lie down together and they shall not rise. They are extinguished. Do you know the meaning of extinguished? It's like when I put a fire. No, rakapahatia. And the fire is burning. And we're all seeing the fire. That they are, the fire is coming there and we're all scared. And then you go with water and you extinguish it. To extinguish the fire means there's a burning fire, but it has been stopped. Now imagine God is saying, this time around, your battles that you're going to fight, it's not like you'll be fighting them. It's not like you'll be extinguishing the fire, fighting with this. No! I will do it for you. Every battle ahead, the Lord is extinguishing your battle. The Lord is making your enemies weak. He's defeating the battles, the financial battles, the spiritual battles, every witchcraft attack. Whatever situation you're facing, it is extinguished. It is extinguished. They will not rise. They will not rise. Somebody shout in the name of Jesus. Karamande rebo shika. Reke parama. Zara kituya bahata. I prophesy in the name of Jesus. Rika bhatos. You will not go into the battlefield. This time around, the battle is different. There is a new victory. There's a new way of victory. Somebody shout, I receive it.
I receive it.
Watch this. The scripture says, they will not. Now see there. Then it says, they are extinguished. They will not rise. What's the Bible saying? It says they will not rise. They will lie down together. In verse 18, it says, do not remember the former things. So why is God here saying, do not remember the former things? Because we are remembering how battles were coming and how alone we are trying to fight them. So God, not this time around. Don't remember how you were struggling. How would I make my business move? How would I make my children? How would I make my family? How would I make my things? He says, forget. What I'm doing now is a new thing. You have not seen it. It's a new innovation. There is a you the world has not seen. You see, we're in a season where God is making things new. Say with me, God is making things new.
God is making things new.
Now, we are going to see things which God makes new. Let's look at things which God makes new. Number one, a new heart. God is going to make some people, somebody, to have a new heart. And I'm going to explain to you this. Now let's go to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. From verse 26 to 27.
Ezekiel 36, from verse number 26. The Bible says, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh.
27.
I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you keep my judgments and do them.
So the scripture here says, I'll give you a new heart. So when God is dealing with new things, the first thing he does is a new heart. Touch your heart. Say, I receive a new heart. When we speak of a new heart, it deals with the character. It deals with your reasoning, your capacity of thinking. It deals with your ability to cope, live, resonate. If a person says my heart or his heart, he has a bad heart, what does it mean? It's a character. The attitude. If somebody says, I'm thinking this in my heart. So if God wants to deal with something, when we use the word heart, it does not mean that's what you are thinking. If somebody says, I love you with all my heart, it does not mean that they're actually loving you from their heart. Because the heart does not think, it is your brain. But your heart is your life. Your heart is the art. Is an idiom. I'm talking to somebody right here. So somebody here has an idiom. When somebody says, he blew a mushroom of air. It does not mean that he went and then he took a mushroom and blew it. He simply says he was smoking. So that is an idiom to try to express something that is actually similar to the expression which can only be explained in a proper way by using a word or a similitude. So if I say something and you say, you are a star, I mean that you are shining amongst many. I'm talking to somebody, right?
Yes, prophet.
So when we are dealing with the heart, it deals with the character, the thinking, the ability to resonate, the attitude of a person. So if the Bible says, a new heart would I give you, a new heart would I give you, it deals with your humility. It deals with how you treat people. It deals with your attitude. It deals with what you want and why. Some say new heart. Am I speaking to somebody here?
Speaking to me, prophet.
I heard someone saying to me, he said, me, the only thing I don't like is to be changed. I like the way I am. I said, yeah? I said, yeah? I mean. So the person had the mother was actually right there. And the mom is like, no, don't say like that. Ah, they were even arguing. I said, really? No, me, I don't want the way I think. And this girl had piercings on the nose here. Some were even coming on the lips. Piercings everywhere. Ah, you will see more metal than the face. So I knew that it was already a defensive mechanism. When the mom brought this lady to the prophet, she thought I'll be like, no, go and remove this. She said, no, me, I want to tell you first. The way I am, I don't like anyone telling me. I said, no. And the mom was trying to say, no. Hey, listen to the prophet. I said, no, don't listen to the prophet. I said, you don't have to listen to me. I said, the only thing I'll request, mama, bring your child for 3 services in our church. So they brought the first service, the second Sunday, the third Sunday. She came, she had removed everything from the first. I'm like, I thought you don't listen. Like, you know, when I come to church, I begin to hear something telling me like you need to change. You can't listen to people, but when God speaks, that's how everybody we got born again. You think like we're listening to people? You think you are listening to people? Somebody came and said, stop drinking. You wouldn't stop. But when the boss came and told you, that's why you cannot change people. I can never change you. My responsibility is to preach. And the Holy Ghost, as I preach, he begins to convict you. He begins to change you. He begins to transform you. He begins to speak to you. So you will never hear me coming on the pulpit and say, hey, you should stop doing this. Hallelujah. You should stop. No, I just preach. As I preach, the Holy Spirit talks to you. Say, hey. Like, oh, yes, sir. So the first thing that God will deal with in this season, there are so many people here, you are praying and you can't see the breakthrough. And the reason why you can't see the breakthrough is not because God can't do it, but because God sees your heart. Do you understand that a whole prophet by the name of Samuel went to the house of Jesse, where he went to anoint someone to become a king? I'm talking to somebody here. So he asked Jesse, he said, call all your children. So he called all his children to come. Are you following? And the firstborn was who? There was Eliab. And Eliab was the eldest. And when you look at him, the man, the Bible says how he was looking. You'll be like, I think this is the guy that he needs to be anointed. The man had his stomach like this. He was wearing glasses like my son here. And he put his glasses on his nose like this. And the tie will come and go like this. He'd be like, ah. Now, Now, Samuel took the oil. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
And he went straight to anoint Eliab. Trust you me, the oil was supposed to land on Eliab. But God says no. And do you know the reason why? The heart. God says, I have rejected him. For you see the outside appearance, but I see the heart. So the reason why he never got the anointing was the heart. There are men of God and women of God who God could use them mightily, but God sees their hearts and says, with this attitude, with this heart, I can't put my anointing. There are people supposed to be millionaires, and God is supposed to pour the oil for wealth accumulation. He's supposed to put the anointing for business, but God says, I have seen the heart. I have rejected this. This is why, if God wants to bless you, if he sees you've got a heart that he cannot bless, if he wants to bless you, what he does, he compromises and he says, okay, instead of not doing it in his life, I will change his heart. I will give this person a new heart. Oh my God. Someone raise up your hands. I receive a new heart.
I receive a new heart.
So God says, I have sinned. I'm about to punish the people of Israel, but I will not punish you. What I'm going to do, I will just give you a new heart. Come on, some say, I'm here. Imagine Eliab could have received the anointing and become a king. But what blocked him was the heart. Imagine, please, the Bible says you should not think yourself highly than you ought to think. Don't think like, oh, I'm here. I don't think. No. Sometimes it's your character. How do you talk to people? And why do you want money? Why do you want a breakthrough? Why do you want healing? Why do you want deliverance? So God looks the behinds to say, this one, he wants a miracle, not because of my glory, but because of his glory. He wants his name to be elevated. Another man came to me and said, prophet, I need anointing. I want to prophesy like you. I said, oh, okay. I said, why? My church is not growing. My church is not growing. And Papa, I'm not even known in my town. So I want the anointing. I want to shake the town. What a heart. We don't prophesy to be famous. It's not something we do because we want to be famous or to be known. We don't do it because we want people to appreciate us or to grow the church. If it was to prophesy to grow the church, I promise I will be prophesying from morning to evening. I actually go, I teach, I preach more, and I may even speak to 2 people. Then I close the service. Because we don't use it to grow the church. We don't use it to be famous. Prophecy is there because the Bible says it is there for the church to be edified. The church to be exalted. So if the purpose is defiled, you have got another reason why you are doing what you're doing, then everything is distorted. So God can want to anoint you, but your heart. Some people already, God just raised you a little bit. You already exited from your family group. Only one car. Just one. Already you're out of the family group. I mean, I don't like nonsense. Wow. Already. I don't like nonsense. Heart. You'll be tested with everything. Your brother will hate you from nowhere. Your sisters, everybody will begin to fight you because God is trying to test your heart. The Bible says, I will test you. I will try you as God is tried. You will be tested. People begin to fight you. Your own people that you have raised will rise up against you. But we don't fight back. We don't say things. We live in the humility because we have a new heart. Am I speaking to somebody here? You're going to create enemies like, I don't like that woman. I don't like that man. I hate them. I don't want anything. God says, this heart, I'm not anointing. Am I speaking to somebody here? This heart. So what God stops, you may be praying right now for a miracle and you're wondering why it's not coming. Because sometimes it's the heart. In this season where God is making all things new, what God will be dealing with, number one, he'll be dealing with the hearts. There are people right now, they can't even think, I need to be in fasting. They can't. Oh, then I need a miracle now. I need a breakthrough. We are praying, we want a miracle to happen. We want this thing to happen. God sees the heart. the reason they were all children of Jesse. But why the oil went on David, it is because of his heart. And indeed, he was being pursued by King Saul to be killed. And one day, and he was told he would become a king. And one day, as King Saul was chasing David, he felt so tired and he slept. And David went where he was sleeping and found the man who is looking for his life sleeping. And David knew that if this man I kill him, I'm the next king, because the prophecy is when this guy dies, I'll be the next king. But David never killed him. Because David said what? I cannot touch the anointed. There are people who have an audacity to be touching the anointed. And yet those anointed they are touching, not even a single day have wished to kill them. But this guy was to kill David. But the man to be killed did not even a single moment kill him. He said, I cannot kill him. God says, this is the heart I anoint. This is the heart I'm looking for. And there was one man, when King Saul died, there was one man who took a sword and came to David. He said, Master, the man who was bothering you, I have killed him. David said, you have killed who? That man who was bothering you, so I have killed him. David said, were you not scared to touch the anointed? David did not celebrate to say, now I'm the next king. No, he said, were you not scared? Were you not? David said, kill this man now. And the man was killed instantly. And David went into prayer. And David fasted for 7 days. He says, I will not eat or not drink. I will cry for the death, because this man was anointed. And David even cast the mountain where King Saul died. This is the heart that God anoints. A heart that God anoints. Am I talking to somebody here? So if you are wondering sometimes why God cannot put something on you, it is your heart. In this season, if there is a prayer you should pray for, is, oh God, give me a new heart. Give me a new heart. Oh God, change my heart. Give me a new heart. A heart of purpose, a heart for God, a heart that is thirsty and hungry for God's kingdom, a heart that loves people, a heart that cannot revenge, a good heart. Raise up your right hand, say, in the name of Jesus. Jesus. I receive a new heart.
I receive a new heart.
Come on, say it again. Say it again. Say, oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
Give me a new heart.
Give me a new heart.
Say it again. Oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
Give me a new heart.
Give me a new heart.
All right. In Jeremiah 31:33.
The Bible reads in Jeremiah 31:33. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people.
You see this? So God says, you know what I want to do? I want to do something new. I will change how they think. In their mind, I will write my laws. Can you imagine that you are driving like this? Instead of stressing, you are remembering scriptures. He says, I will write in their mind. Instead of them panicking, they'll be thinking in a word. It is written. It is said. Fear not, I am with you. It is said, I am the Lord your God, who summons you by your name, who calls you by your name. I'll put my laws in their hearts. Can you imagine that you are actually panicking? What will happen? What will happen in this? Oh, look, until now, I don't have a baby. I'm praying I can't have a baby. You will remember the scriptures. None of you shall be barren. So if there is something that you must pray for, is your heart. Your heart must be filled with the word, filled with the love. Now let's go to Hebrews quickly. I want us to see this scripture quickly. Because today we're dealing with the heart. Chapter 8, verse 10.
Hebrews chapter number 8, verse number 10. The Bible says, For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people.
I love this part now where it actually says, and I'll be their God.
I'll be their God.
Come on, come on. I'll be what?
I'll be their God.
And
they shall be my people.
So number one, God makes, he gives people a new heart. Come on, somebody say a new heart.
A new heart.
So I receive a new heart.
I receive a new heart.
So God puts his word in your heart. That's this is how he changes your heart. Two, he makes you to have one heart. Say one heart.
One heart.
He removes the heart of stone. A heart of stone, no matter how we preach, no matter how we teach, you don't change. It's a heart of stone. Let's go back to the book of Ezekiel. But in this time around, we're going to go to chapter 11 and we'll check verse 19. The scripture speaks very important things here. Then I'll give them one heart. I'll give them what?
One heart.
Not two. One heart. Do you understand? You can actually have two hearts. One heart is in the church. One heart is in the world. Come on. I'm talking to somebody, right? You can actually have two hearts. After prayer. Immediately after prayer, it's like you are not even God's child. The things you are thinking, you know, how you are behaving, your character, God says, no. This time around, I'm going to give them what? One heart. Somebody shout one heart. I'll give them one heart. Now go in the scripture. And I'll put a new spirit within them. And take the stony heart out of their flesh. And give them a heart of flesh. So God is doing a new thing. If there is something that you should pray for, please, I'm repeating this. On new things, if there is something you should pray for, is God, give me a new heart. I want to hear you as you speak to me. I want to do as you talk to me. I want to listen to your voice. I want to have a character you want me to have. God is not a magician. He is not. He's working right now, as I'm teaching right now. The Spirit of God is actually dealing with each one of you individually to say, change there, change there. How you talk, how you pray, how you speak, go there. Go back to prayer. Some of you have even backslidden. He's talking to you right now. This is a new heart we're talking about. He's giving a new heart. Somebody shout a new heart.
New heart.
Shout again. Say a new heart.
A new heart.
A new heart.
A new heart.
I receive. A new heart.
A new heart.
In my prayer.
In my prayer.
A new heart.
A new heart.
In my calling.
In my calling.
A new heart.
A new heart.
In my spiritual life.
My spiritual life.
A new heart.
A new heart.
In my business.
In my business.
In my career.
In my career.
A new heart.
A new heart.
A new heart. God is giving you. So when God is giving a person a new heart, because God wants to do something. Imagine if God came to Eliab and he said, you know what, Eliab? You know, I know your heart is not okay, but I will give you a new heart. Samuel, go ahead, anoint him. He would have had that mercy. But imagine he didn't have that grace. That the anointing could not land on him because of his heart. But with you, God knows your heart, that it has got errors, your character. But God is saying, I know about it. But because I love you so much, what I'm going to do, I will just fix. I will just give you a new heart. Amen. Raise your two hands, somebody. I receive a new heart.
I receive a new heart.
To people who know warfare, what I'm teaching right now is very actually deep in warfare. If you receive a new heart, it is a whole different thing. Am I speaking with somebody here? Your understanding of things begin to change. How you understand things begins to change. There are people whose hearts are defiled. There are people who they are actually defiled. They are in church, but they are not there. The way they used to love God or to serve God is no longer the same. You need a new heart. Number two, I'll be finishing with this one. A new spirit. Somebody say a new spirit. Now we're going back on the same scripture of Ezekiel 36, verse 26 to 27.
I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you.
Now, remember the word new means what?
Chadash.
Chadash. Now imagine God say, I'll give you a new heart, comma, but trust you me, you can have a new heart, but without a new spirit. There are people out there with a very good heart, but they have no spirit. Hello? He says, I'll give you a new what? A new spirit. So there is a possibility that there are people right now in church with the same spirit where they were born with. The spirit of rejection is with them. They are in church, they are praying. God says, no, I will remove that. That spirit of rejection, I will take it out. I will give you a new spirit. This new spirit is a spirit of acceptance. Somebody should have received.
See,
wherever you are being rejected, that spirit of rejection, God will take it out. And there's a new thing. When God says, I'm doing a new thing, he means a new heart. He means a new spirit. The spirit of rejection. Imagine everywhere you go, you apply here, they reject you. Imagine you even feel resistance from people. It's like they love you and then before you know it, they have kicked you out. It is a rejection. You have nothing to do about it. It's not your fault. It is what attacked you even maybe before you were born. Am I speaking to you? There are so many things that happen before you're born. Right now, as I'm talking to you, there are kids that will be born tomorrow. And there's a lot of things happening now before they are born. And they will be born in those things. God says, before you were born, I knew you and I ordained you. So there's a spirit. Some people have got a spirit that God wants to change. Some say a spirit of rejection.
Rejection.
And some have got a spirit, not just of rejection, but some people have got a spirit of failure and poverty. Hello? I said hello. A spirit of what? Failure and poverty. Imagine this. You have money. Every time you have money, like it's in your hands like this, you will not, you will not even see where it has gone. You will not even understand what it is doing. It is not just happening, sir. It is a spirit. Am I speaking to somebody here? You must be very careful with the spirits. You must be very careful with the spirits. It takes one to have the spirit of praise for the person to be living in praise. It takes one to have the spirit of faith for one to live in faith. It takes one to have the spirit of prayer and intercession for one to live in prayer and in intercession. A new spirit would I give you. Somebody say new spirit.
Spirit.
Come on, say louder. Say new spirit.
New spirit.
Say every spirit of rejection.
Every spirit of rejection.
I rebuke you now.
I rebuke you now.
Every spirit of failure.
Every spirit of failure.
I rebuke you now.
I rebuke you now.
Every spirit of sickness.
Every spirit of sickness.
I rebuke you now.
I rebuke you now.
Every spirit of poverty.
Every spirit of poverty.
I rebuke you now.
I rebuke you now.
Every spirit of fear.
Every spirit of fear.
I rebuke you now.
I rebuke you now.
Every spirit of delay.
Every spirit of delay.
I rebuke you now.
I rebuke you now.
Put your hands together for the Lord. In Zechariah, let's go to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. What does the scripture say? Zechariah 12, verse 10. What does the scripture say?
And I'll pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication.
Now, so we see here a spirit of grace.
Spirit of grace.
We also see a spirit of prayer or a supplication. If one is struggling to pray, simple, they need the spirit of what? Prayer. Now God says, I'll give you a new spirit. So wherever there was a certain spirit, God will remove it and bring in a new spirit. If there was an evil spirit, God will put in a holy spirit. If there was a spirit of failure, God will put in a spirit of success. Raise your two hands in the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
I receive the spirit of success.
I receive a spirit of success.
I rebuke the spirit of failure.
I rebuke the spirit of failure.
I receive a new spirit.
I receive a new spirit.
Say in the name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus.
As I raise my hands.
As I raise my hands.
I receive a new spirit.
I receive a new spirit.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.